everyone, welcome back to Four Hosts. Once again, there are four hosts. Here's me, one of the hosts, Sabrina. You can find me at Vortcat Gaming.
And I am Michael. You can find me at Four Hosts on the Twitters.
I am Jonathan. You can find me at Just Average J everywhere on the internet.
I'm Keith Justice. You can find me on the internet at Keith Justice.
Today we're going to do things a little differently. I'm going to kind of talk about how I feel about Lower Decks be a bit of a downer for everyone, and then we're going to use that to springboard into the stratosphere and talk about all the great things that the gentleman liked about it.
Yay.
Here's how I feel about it. I like that a lot of humor is things that people can connect to. It, like, reflects experiences that they've had in their lives, having to deal with, like, annoying coworkers that take all the credit, that, like, leech on you, for example, or bosses that don't know what the job, how long the job takes and have no idea what they're doing. I just don't feel that it reflects, like, actual Starfleet. And the main character, Mariner, for example, her voice and her writing is amazing. It's really funny. She's very witty. But as one of my friends who watched it with me said, like, why would she be in Starfleet if she hates being in Starfleet? So it just kind of, like, feels too dissonant for me personally. And I'm already not a fan of meta humor, and kind of, like, the entire style of Lower Deck is making, like, a lot of rapid-fire references, which people love, and I sometimes love in different contexts. I just feel like, personally, it's more appropriate for a series like Rick and Morty, which is already, like, really cynical, than Star Trek. I do appreciate how they do, like, for example, the episode with Rutherford trying all the different places in the world, like, super supportive of all of his choices. Like, that was lovely. But the whole time I was like, that's nice, but, you know, he can't actually switch divisions like that. So, like, it's just not the show that I want. And frankly, a lot of Kurtzman's stuff seems very much, like, trying to get as many cameos in it as possible. And I understand that that's something that TNG does a lot. TNG's really, I'm sorry to say, not my favorite. I grew up in Voyager, so I didn't create that bond with it the way that most people in the Star Trek fandom did. And, yeah, I know, sorry, but DS9 is the best writing, and TOS is the one that I connected to personally because of Spock and McCoy.
Agree and, on the best writing thing.
I know that TOS is really dorky, and thank you, Keith. I don't care about that many references. They announced that the next show, the one about the kids, Prodigy, is going to have Kate Mulgrew in it, and that's very nice, but, like, why does Janeway need to be in that, aside from just being able to be like, Kate Mulgrew's in it! So, I'm kind of over, like, the entirety of Kurtzman Trek, and,
yeah.
I think I'm just going to pull back, because I think talking about it all the time is just going to make me really sad.
Oh.
That being said, Lower Decks is very much your guys' game, and, I hear you're super into it, and Keith, I want to start with you. Episode 4 totally transformed your opinion.
Yep.
I've seen it. I would love to hear why.
Star Trek Lower Decks, I was with you at first, because it didn't catch its stride to me. Like, it was all the things that, like, I thought was going to be. It was just reference fest. I wasn't impressed with Mariner because, like, yeah, once again, she's like, I'm just perfect, and
yeah, and they kind of shit on people at the end of episodes.
Yeah, she's perfect, and like you said, I it drives me crazy when people don't get to appreciate that they get to be on a starship, you get to be in Starfleet, you get the freaking uniform, and all you can do is complain. It drives me freaking nuts. So at first, it was they leaned way too much on like. Mariner is too cool for Starfleet. Bing, bing, bang, bang. That's what's funny. I'm just like, okay, that guy's like, I'm here to watch Star Trek. I just can't. And then like number 4, that one started hitting a lot of Star Trek actual things, where you had to care about like the idea of a starship going through space to get to another planet. It had malfunction, but it has like stuff that can turn inorganic stuff into organic, and I'm just like, oh, okay, that is kind of a cool ship that I'd love to explore and think about the implications. And then, like, Mariner yawning and just like, oh, come on. Like, so, like, yeah, she kind of ruins, she often ruins, like, a lot of scenes, and I guess I'm not sure if I'm using the word wrong, but I think the word nepotism is happening.
Mm-hmm. She's there because her parents are in it.
Yeah, she can freaking poop on the floor in front of people, and, like, she will never get fired. She can be as horrific and disrespectful to everybody in the room.
Yeah, didn't Tom Paris get kicked out, like, immediately?
As he should have. He should have been kept in the brig. It's a good thing he's a pilot, but, yeah. But, yeah, number four hit it. All of a sudden, like, I saw dynamic, or I guess, like, the first time I saw dynamic animation was that one time Mariner jumps up and punches out with all four of her limbs and knocks someone out. I'm like, oh. So, all right. Because, like, what I was expecting was that I expected them to do the bare minimum with their animation. If they're going to do, like, a Family Guy where it's, like, a flat shot and characters stand and, like, you know, they shoot shot jokes at each other and there's not much camera movement, whatever. And this, like, the camera flowed, they got creative, they pushed the boundaries of their budget because they, you know, only have an animation one. The ship exploding, yeah, it was a turning point. And then also the shock humor that I think gets layered and funny, where the guy does start ascending, he's like, God, birds! Oh my god, it just supposed to happen. And like, I have watched the episode several times and have died laughing every time he says, I can see Abraham Lincoln. The world is on the back of a koala. Why is it smiling? And I was like, oh my god. Okay. Now we're hitting like good jokes. And
speaking of layering, Keith, are you aware that Abraham Lincoln appearing is one of is part of a TOS episode?
I am now. No. I didn't know that. I didn't think of it. But, like, well, is he a god or something?
So he's like, I see Abraham Lincoln. And I was like, oh, no. And then they're like, riding a koala. And I was like, wait, what? Pardon? kind of, yeah. So they go to a planet. When I say they, I mean probably Kirk, Spock, and McCoy. But maybe just Kirk, Spock, and somebody else. I don't recall what season it's in. Anyway, so they go down, and then they meet, like, three people that they look very highly upon. So Kirk materialized Abraham Lincoln existing. Spock is Sirach, of course.
Oh.
Who else is there? Wow. Yeah, it's one of those episodes that just kind of, like, even TOS fans were like, yep, that episode happened. So
yeah,
watch it. I'll figure out what episode it is and tell you later.
And, like, good references. Like, they hit complex good references that only fans would get.
Like that one.
Yeah. I didn't even get I get it now.
Well, see, that's the thing. I get the TOS references. You get the TNG references, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, like, they're doing them in a way that fans care about. So, yeah. So when it comes to whatever I watch, I shift gears. Like, depending on the context of what I'm watching, like, I'm not going to get what I want out of it in this fashion, so can I shift the gears into comedy mode?
Keith, that's fine.
Yeah?
Just don't have to tell me that.
Okay.
I can do it my way and you can do it your way. It's fine.
Well, because I really
wanted you to... We must all be the same.
I wanted you to enjoy it, because I think it got better. And
yeah, I know. I just didn't.
I know.
I want to enjoy Star Trek 2. It's fine. I'm going to take a break from it, and then I'll come back to it.
Good call. I will say that I am just grinding and trying to find the gear for Star Trek Discovery, but damn, guys. Mm. Woof.
I'm with you on that, Keith.
Oh, what? Red?
Yeah.
Of not liking Discovery?
I don't dislike it, but it's not... One of the comments you made on Facebook was like, you're kind of watching it as not Star Trek, but something else.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I'm watching it. It's good as something else, but it's not Trek. You know, it's not. I don't know. It doesn't feel Trek to me.
People would be cheering for this team if they're doing anything else, I think.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it looks beautiful, and the actors are good and everything. They got a cat, which is cool. But I'm like, it's like, I don't know. It almost feels like homework to watch it, and that shouldn't be. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
That's why I'm stepping back from Star Trek.
Good call. Yeah. Like, yeah, you are not. They don't want to try to do Star Trek. They want to do Star Wars. It's like I was trying to think of like how do I say this when like when something isn't. Yeah,
this is not a Discovery episode. We're talking about Lower Deck.
Sorry, my bad.
I thought we could talk about all Star Trek and. Yeah, but like I was gonna say, was it as a kid when you get your friends together and you say, hey, we're gonna play Cops and Robbers, we're gonna play Spaceship, we're gonna play Star Trek. Like when you say you're gonna play something, it means a certain set of rules.
Yeah,
and
Star Wars rules for Star Trek.
Yes. Mm-hmm. By the second half of Lower Decks, they're playing Star Trek finally.
Mm-hmm. Kurtzman was part of the J.J. Abrams movies, and that was my concern with those as well. The last one was better in that regard because Simon Pegg, who is a big Star Trek fan, wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
They did feel like Star Wars in the Star Trek universe. So I think he's kind of like brought some of that into Discovery. It's that like super glossy, nice J.J. Abrams kind of spacey, which is why a lot of people were like, maybe it's in the Calvin timeline. But it's very much like an action-adventure Star Wars rather than Star Trek.
I was kind of hoping that number four might also work with you because they're doing a Stargate thing of ascending. Like, they fully
granted,
did.
Granted. That did make me laugh.
Cool.
I had that reaction. I was like...
Oh, and then also like I said, on the social medias, Stargate Discovery is definitely the Star Trek universe of Star Trek. Like, down to, like, the crappy lighting, and then also, in Stargate Universe, they have this annoying thing where, like, they're all trapped on a ship out in the depths of space, and then every episode, like, the B-plot is, oh my god, and the ship's gonna explode this episode, or we're going to run out of air this episode, or we can't drink this episode. Everybody's going to die this episode. I'm just like, okay, I get it. Like,
All right. You're constantly in mortal danger. We get it.
Yeah, like, and then, like, Discovery is, like, they crash land on a planet, and, you know, there's, like, ice. And then, like, next scene is, like, oh, shit, it's parasitic ice. So it's going to destroy the entire ship if we don't make it this episode. Like, okay, guys, like, every episode, everything's going to die. Okay.
It is also frustrating when every episode is we're in mortal danger because you think, one, you can't up the stakes for, like, the series. Well, I guess we don't really have mid-season finales anymore. Like, there used to be mid-season two-parters, so those don't really exist anymore. But if you're constantly in mortal danger, how are you going to do peaks? And also, it never gives you time to do any interpersonal stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely what I feel has been missing from the current iterations.
Ah, we're all gonna die again. Like, okay, alright. Let's see. So, was there anything you liked in that fourth episode? Are you notes that you took? Void?
No.
Alright. Then, it's okay.
I mean seriously that I'm gonna spend the rest of the episode asking you questions about what you liked.
Totally cool. I can cry myself to sleep later. Okay. I can do that later.
My apologies.
It's cool. Anyway, I talked a lot. And I'm ready to talk some more whenever someone wants me to, but I'll step down for a second because I got notes and more yappery.
Okay.
Michael.
Yes.
I know you liked it from the beginning, so rather than so changed your mind... What was your favorite episode?
Without a doubt, the last season, the season finale.
Mm-hmm. And what made the season finale so amazing for you?
Everything in it. I mean, all the little references. I mean, I watched it again yesterday, and I still got goosebumps when the Titan flew in.
Yeah!
And the music, you know, kicked up. I was like, oh my god! You know, it's like, it was like the culmination of all the episodes. It was just like, I thought it was a perfect season finale.
Mm-hmm.
And
Shockingly specific.
That symphony What's that? At the end.
Hmm? Oh. Wait, what are you talking about?
I just thought, like, So Star Trek keeps on doing things I say specifically they should do, and it just
the Titan. They were like reading Keith's tweets.
It feels like it, and if it not, then now I've had two freaking gigantic coincidences where I say, "Hey, yeah. Discovery, you're fucking up by like not going far into the future where you can do everything you want." Go into the far future, I said on their official Facebook thing, and then like people stop bothering you, and there you go, 3,000 years into the future. And then, like, the ending of Picard, I'm like, this is bullshit. What would have been cool is if the Titan came in, and, like, as if they know, like, they framed it as, like, a fanboy getting ready for the Titan to come. And, like, the shot of Boimler saying, "Oh, my God," point at the screen behind him, and you see the fucking Titan, it actually appears on screen, like,
Anyway. I was so excited for you, Keith, the episode. I was like, oh, my God, Keith's going to love this. It was awesome.
I have that next, like, the Titans next to my, like, the place I sit in my living room. I've had it as wallpaper. It's my Star Trek Online ship go-to.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
I love seeing Riker and Troy in there. And, I mean, even at the very end where he's like, "Give me a warp factor of 5, 6, 7, 8. I was like, I burst out laughing.
Yep. And that last episode, Riker's acting like Riker again, and like everything's acting like Star Trek again. Like,
I'm like, where are they going to go next season? Is it going to be like the Titan show, or what's going to happen? I mean,
I'm hoping Boimler gets fired and kicked back to the Cerritos, because in my sci-fi, if I have a crew, I love them on their shitty starship, and the Cerritos. Yeah. Has risen up for me a little bit. Because I didn't like the design at first. It almost feels like I felt like pylons, I think, that for the saucer session almost held it a little too high up to like make it look stupid. But I feel like it lowered or something. It's just it's looking less obnoxious and more like YouTubers say, it looks like a kit bash in the background of an episode. And like that's what you want to see. So.
Yeah. So you're saying you fell in love with the Cerritos, is what you're saying?
Wouldn't go that far. I do not love the Cerritos yet, but...
A little crush, maybe?
It's a good shitty starship. It's
basic. Okay, I'll take that.
It's basic, it's nice.
Okay.
So, but yeah, like, I loved how the episode, the show kind of... It just takes some time to get used to making the show or whatever. Because, like, when I first saw Cerritos, I was like, oh, this is a starship from people who don't care and whatever. And then, like, they showed, like, her friendship, you know, come into that one episode that looked really good. And I'm like, oh, wait, it's on purpose. It looks shitty. Okay, now. And, yeah, they're doing good. I'm watching Star Trek again with Rick and Morty jokes, which I'm okay with. Was until I get my real Star Trek, which who knows if that'll ever happen.
It will, Keith. It will. We just have to believe.
I saw Discovery. I'm not sure how confirmed it is, but Discovery got 2 more seasons?
Oh, really?
Damn. Yeah. Okay. Ugh. I mean... man, like, Jay, I know you must be happy for it, and I'm glad. Correct?
Yes, you're correct.
Good.
Oh shit! I forgot Jay was here. Yeah. Forget all that stuff I said. Jay.
No, I know. It's okay.
He's in our hearts.
It's okay. Yeah, exactly. No, I know. I'm the odd man out right now. Nope. That's okay. Well, the thing is, I feel like it's good because Discovery got 2 more seasons, which I feel like Discovery just started because it's almost like the first 2 seasons were just like a prequel, and the guts and the heart of the show are happening now. Because I mean, this is brand new Trek. This is in the future. We haven't had a series 1,000 years in the future from the Trek universe. We don't know what caused the burn. We don't know all this stuff. So I feel like we're getting to the guts and the core of Discovery. So that's why I'm excited. Because, I mean, there's so much that we need to flesh out. And there's so much undiscovered and unexplored and unknown that this is it's amazing to me. I'm super into it. So, you know, again, I know I'm the odd person out, but... I'm excited for it because it's new and it's exciting, you know?
Yeah. Jumping that far into the future, considering the fact that really everything that we have is really like within a 200-year span, less. Like, it gives them so much space that you don't even need to, like, there's a bunch of stuff you can introduce that you don't even need to explain, because there's no way they're going to discover 1,000 years of history in, no matter, like, how genius they are. So you really get the license to create, like, a bunch of new species, a bunch of, like, really new equipment, new new technology, etc. So if they do that and then still end up having the same, like, 12 races show up and just be like, ah, Klingon's 1,000 years in the future and Romulan's 1,000 years in the future, I really will not be...
Well, that's why I said I feel like we're at the core now, because they have a clean slate, absolutely open. They can, I mean, they have the foundation, but it's absolutely open to do whatever they want. And there is so much power to that, that it could, it could be great or it could suck. I don't know. But the fact that it's for the first time ever, I think since TOS, it's a clean slate. It's brand new. Like, this is all brand new. I mean, 1,000 years in the future, who knows? Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I'm super excited. So,
do you have rules for you? Do you have rules on what you feel makes something Star Trek or not?
No. I'm kind of a fly by the seat of my pants guy. I like an episode or don't. You know, I don't have this, like, philosophical, like, everything has to feel this way, you know? No. It's not a jab. I'm just being straight, like, honest. If I enjoy it, I enjoy it. And my nature is not to overthink things. That's just life in general. Like, I don't, you know, I mean, it frustrates my wife and a lot of people, because I don't necessarily think about, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow or what's going to happen in a month or in 10 years. I live for now. And if I enjoy it, I enjoy it. You know, I don't overthink things. Mm-hmm.
Okay, overthinking and having standards is not the same.
Agreed. I apologize. I worded it, you know, poorly. I apologize. I
think we all understand, though. It's really cool. It's for with me, at least.
Well, no, it's just, like, because I don't have this, like, foundation of, like, it needs to be this. You know, like, I enjoy it or I don't. It's a good story or it's not. It's entertaining or it's not. It's very much a... I don't have a lot of gray area.
So why does it matter that it's Star Trek or Star Wars or Battlestar Galactica? Or if you like all of those things, then you like all of those things.
Well, that's the thing, is I like all those things. For you. I like all those things. I love Battlestar Galactica. I love Star Wars. I love...
If somebody wrote fan fiction, could you tell which show it belonged to?
We've talked about this. Do you remember?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this. And
would you say you have brand name loyalty?
I forget what I said, but it was something about, like, the Prime Directive.
Then you said it didn't matter that they broke those rules anyway.
Yeah, I know. Well, again, because I'm not really thinking that much about it. I just, if I enjoy it, I enjoy it. But no, if you took off the Trek logos and stuff, and you threw them on Tatooine, I'd be like, okay, it's Star Wars. I get it now. I see what you're saying.
Like, if we were childhood friends and, like, we were playing, man, I would be.
I'd be with Keith. I'd be getting angry. You didn't have lightsabers in Starfleet.
I was gonna start with being we'd be a little more immature back then, but yeah, I'd be a little angry if we're playing Star Trek, Jay, we can't have Ricker.
You can't use the Force?
That's not how the Force works.
We don't use starfighters in Star Trek, Jay. Yeah.
Tell that to my
son. Gosh, man.
Tell that to my son right now.
I'm getting so many flashbacks.
All it would take is one photon torpedo and you'd be dead, man.
You don't even have shields in Star Wars.
Losers.
That's why we didn't play Star Trek much as kids, because, man, it was hard. Like,
well, Star Trek,
I can play Star Trek.
I agree. Star Trek, old Trek, used to be very scientific, very thought-provoking, very, what's that word?
And Kurtzman Trek is
where you have to where you have to, like, use your brain to, you know, like,
Cerebral?
Yes, that's the word. Yeah. My brain doesn't work very well these days.
We're not going to be, children are not going to...
Yeah.
Have a finale of out philosophizing the giant robot.
Yeah, but you know, it's one of those things where it did used to be very, you know, cerebral, and now it's not. And I, again, we've talked about this. I feel like that has to do with 10 episode seasons and streaming mm-hmm. content and just the way that society mm-hmm. is with media.
That's
now.
Exactly why I said I'm pulling away from Crispin Trek.
Yeah. Oh, and that's
mm-hmm. thank you for understanding.
Valid. Yeah, no, I'm not here yeah. to say that you have to think the same way or I'm not, mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just like yeah. I'm saying you understand
yeah.
where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although we will have to continue watching the TOS movies, just to be clear.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we were just getting to the good one.
I know.
Right. And Keith's favorite.
Yes. Yes. Shoot God in the face. Come on. What's not love? What's not to love?
So still to come.
So, but right. real quick, I want to go back to what we were originally talking about mm-hmm. on this episode, which is Lower Decks. And before I yes. forget, I wanted to mention my favorite episode.
Yeah, I was going to ask you still. Okay. What's your favorite episode,
I
want
to make sure. Okay. I don't remember if it's 8 or 9, but it's the one where Mariner fights herself to stick up for her mom. Yeah. It's that, like, mm-hmm. you know, where...
The movie episode.
And yes. And first off, all the lens flare in that episode was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious to me. But no, it's this, like... You know, she's this angsty, like, oh, my mom, I hate my mom, you know, it's almost like she's still a teenager and she's got all this, like, anger toward her parents, you know? And then she mm-hmm. ends up fighting herself and was like, oh, therapy works! you know?
Yeah, they crushed it that episode.
Mm, it was so good.
Yeah, like, they made fun of my thing, like, they made fun of, like, almost all of Star Trek movies mm-hmm. in a loving way, not in like a haha, this is stupid. It was mm-hmm. like there's lens flare everywhere, but it was like, no, we get the joke, guys. We're like, they're in on the joke.
Wink, wink, and then, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, I know.
They did the thing where, so do you know the concept at all, Void?
Yeah.
Sabrina?
But okay, feel free to explain it for the audience who doesn't remember what episode you were talking about.
I forget why, but they're in the holodeck, and then
Boimler. So here's the thing: Boimler created a holodeck program with personal logs and likenesses of the entire crew because he wants to,
Mr. Beckley.
Yeah, because he wants to be able to impress the captain at his performance review. So he wanted to be able to have everyone react the same way they would in real life. So he basically was trying to figure out how to kiss up to the captain. And Mariner basically was like, oh, wait, no. Here, hold on, let me code this. And she, like, recoded it to be a movie and basically, like, for her to work out her problems with her mom. And he was like, you can't hijack my holodeck program. It was brilliant.
Of course you can.
It was so funny. And
they hit all these, like, subtle, like, movie jokes, such as, like, they get to the Cerritos in the holodeck program for the first time, and the music just plays way too long.
And they're flying in the shuttlecraft.
Yep, just looking lovingly, I'm like, yes,
and the engineer's crying. He's, like, got tears. Yeah.
I love that scene in the motion picture so much.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I have it as a wallpaper.
Absolutely.
Aww. Yeah, there's, like, two... Yeah. 1980s sci-fi long shots, just they don't make them like that anymore.
Nope.
Gotta move on to the next scene.
Well, unless you're watching Lower Decks, then they do. No, I'm just kidding.
yeah. And then the final fight she has with her holodeck self was fantastic.
Oh yeah,
the animation, the choreography, even the dialogue was just like, what the were they holding back at the start, or are they getting more comfortable, or like? Mm-hmm.
They just wanted to fuck with you, Keith.
Yeah.
They succeeded.
Well, it's funny because, you know, she's like, oh, you think I'm losing this fight? No, I'm just stalling. And it's like a total, like, Mariner, like, I'm just stalling so everyone can get off the ship. And then she, like, destructs the ship explodes and she's still on it. And the other Mariner's like, wait, what? I did that? Like, it was eye-opening. It was really, really cool because...
Did her hologram self outsmart her real self? Yeah. I forget which one won.
No, she did. Her hologram self won. Because she basically did a self-destruct on the ship with both of them still inside of it.
Yeah.
And she was like, I was just stalling. I'm not losing. I'm just stalling.
The writing on this show, they freaking stepped up. And very much looking forward to season 2. Like, if they're open to bringing out, like, the freaking Titan, like, am I going to see Geordi's Challenger?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, since the Titan came up again, I want to point out that season one of Picard and season one of Lower Decks ended the same way. With Ooh. Her showing up at the helm.
Oh.
Yep. That's right.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah.
Did they do that deliberately, perhaps? Was it a reference that the Titan showed up? They were like, we know you wanted to see the Titan.
Oh.
Wanted Riker again. Here you go. We give it to you. Yep.
And I love that
it's so specific.
I love that Deanna's like, oh god, not the jazz.
Like, yeah,
I do feel like.
What do you mean not the jazz? He plays saxophone.
Oh, I know.
Remember, I complained when they broke Boimer's violin. I was like, that's exactly the sort of shit they do. Look, he plays they do Shakespearean plays all the time. He plays the saxophone because he's the cool one. You know.
Yep. Oh, trombone. Riker plays trombone.
Yeah, trombone.
Yeah.
Oh my god, of course he does.
Let's see.
But I'm here for it. I love the show.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I do.
Going back to episode four, I wanted to take notes for all the episodes, but I didn't. But episode four, the joke about waste removal, and I'm not sure if I did or didn't like that the captain's like, people use it for that. I'm like, man, how old are you now?
Lady, come on.
Yeah.
Do you not know that people do that? Come on.
Yeah, you don't like. What are you doing for? And then my other problem with the waste removal joke is like, they got teleporters. Like you don't need to contain it. That's me being Sabrina-esque with how snobby a Star Trekker I'm Thank being you. On that. But yeah,
now,
it out. Okay, no.
Also,
okay,
like the way the holodeck works is that it reconstitutes matter and then dissolves it again. So there's no reason why I wouldn't be able to do that with organic matter.
Yep.
So, that's gross. Yeah.
I know it's a very big joke in Star Trek fandom. I've seen it 100,000 times, but it doesn't actually work. Sorry, dude.
I've not heard that joke in the Star Trek fan. Star Trek fans actually think that there's cleaning that needs to be done.
Fans. No, they're just like, where does all the gunk go? And you're like, it materializes. Where do you think?
Yeah, have you watched the Star Trek episode before?
I mean, like, we've literally seen them do, like, sweeps of sterilization where just, like, it burns up everything in its path. Like, you think that the holodeck doesn't clean itself? Like, come on.
Yeah.
So, I appreciate the joke. but, like, as much as I shift gears, that one made me just go, okay, I'll let it go. A little too much on that one. Let me see here. Once again, the characters I've always liked, and now they're starting to grow into each other.
Okay, wait, that brings me to my next question, but I'm not going to start with you, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
Michael,
yes.
Your favorite character, now that you've seen all of season one?
I still have to say Boimler.
Yeah.
Is my favorite, yeah.
And what's your favorite part of Boimler?
I think because we've all been a little Boimler at one point in our lives, some more than others, and I kind of relate to him. Terrible. But
what's your favorite plot with him?
I think him getting promoted to the Titan, I thought was awesome, but that's just me going back to that final episode, which.
Right, but I mean, if you connect with Boimler and he gets his dream promotion onto the ship that you want, like, why would that not make you happy?
No, you're true.
That's what fiction is for. Make you have feelings, even though they're not real. But they are real. Whatever. Jay, who's your favorite character?
Mariner.
Mm-hmm. And what is it about Mariner that you really like?
I like that Mariner is a fuck off, but gets it done. But when stuff's real, she gets it done. You know what I'm saying? Like she's that person that can.
If it's not serious, she'll make fun of it, and if it's serious, problem.
Exactly. So it's like I don't know why, but I like it. Like there's a switch that happens. The episode with her and her friend, where her friend's the captain and the visiting captain and she's like, why are you like this? Like, why are you still an ensign? And, you know, like, why do you keep messing up? And then, like, an actual emergency happens, and she jumps in, and she's like, where has this been? Like, why are you doing this? You know, and it's interesting to me, that internal kind of, like, conflict of basically...
Self-sabotage.
Well, yeah, like, I don't want to impress my parents, so I'm just going to be the most demoted officer in Starfleet. But then, when things really, you know, come to where they need something, even at that episode, I think, where the pack lids were messing with him, her mom was like, hey, I need one of your crazy ideas that would get mm-hmm. you court-martialed, but I need it now. And she was like, okay. You know what I mean? And it's just I don't know if that was the right episode. I don't know if it was the pack lids or not, but but basically...
No, that was the right one, yeah.
Was it? Okay. But I mean, it's like even her mom respects her enough to know, like, hey, you're a mess-up, but you know what's up. Like, you know what you're doing, you know? So I just like the conflict. And then the parental kind of, like, I want to impress my mom, but I don't want to impress my mom. And you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. everyone finding out that's her mom and that's her daughter. And then Boimler being like, ah! You know? I mean, you know, like, there's just a lot of really cool nuances to her character and the relationship with Boimler and the relationship with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She is my second favorite. So
yeah. And she's fun. She seems like she'd be fun. The choo-choo-choo dance, oh my god.
She clearly knows how to go party.
Yeah.
Yep.
I presume that's your favorite scene with her as well.
Which scene?
Storyline. Her just, like, screwing around with her captain friend and then saving everyone at the end.
Well, I think that's not necessarily my favorite. My favorite is
still... All right, what's your favorite?
Well, my favorite is still when she when she fights herself. Because that's just...
Oh,
that's,
right.
I mean, talk about internal conflict. That's literally... literally, the conflict went from internal to external. I mean, it was really...
Metaphor?
Yeah. Again, I can't think of words right now.
It's okay. That's what I'm here for.
Thank you. I appreciate you. But no, I mean, but I will admit that's probably my second when her and her captain friend... basically got stuff done, and she was mm-hmm. like, you know, the offer still stands. I know what you're really capable of, you know? So,
mm-hmm.
I will admit that it's one thing I noticed that I didn't really pick up on because I watched the last, like, five episodes last night just to refresh my memory. And they reference the Oakland, the Sacramento, like, I'm noticing a lot of, like, California cities.
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was kind of like, okay, that's cool. I mean, I don't know why. There's probably a reason for it, but that's cool.
I believe there are places in which, like, bits of Star Trek were filmed, perhaps.
Okay.
I was imagining it's probably, like, where all the people who create the show are from.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah.
Or where the studios are located, something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like
personal Easter eggs.
mm-hmm.
LA reference, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
But there's an Illinois.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Keith, favorite character?
Yeah. Going to have to say Boimler. Yep. Like, he's definitely the audience insert.
Mm-hmm.
He is very much like, he appreciates being on a starship. He geeks out about the Titan. As good as he is, he has to try hard and, like, work through his failures a lot. I guess, like, Mariner frustrates me because I have not always been, like, I'm not the smartest person in the room. Like, I will never be the overachiever easily. Like, I never lived a life where, like, people don't give me promotions or, like, if I'm faced with a problem that, like, I can snap my fingers. And, like, I just, like, for me, that frustrates me to see, I guess, is that pretty Mary Sue? What she's doing? but like, yeah, the thing I've noticed, like, with my dislike of Mary Sue's is what I see in myself, which is the way I write all of my characters is Mary Sue. Like, every character that's ever been written by me, it was a Mary Sue. And I can see that when I watch it, though, that's not usually fun storytelling for me. But I guess, like, as the things have gone on, I'm starting to see, like, victories are starting to be handed out more and more around the crew, like the senior staff, Boimler even. So her perfection can start now. Like, the writers are starting to make it a hindrance for her that she gets close to paying a price for, but not really yet. But yeah, Boimler in my favorite scene with him. I would say, like, my first hint of, like, enjoying him much was when everyone was being stressed out from doing too much work, but finally he was in his, like, space.
Mm-hmm.
He's finally comfortable. So that was like, all right, so he can do anything ever. That's cool. And, yeah, been enjoying his frustrations since.
Sorry.
Yeah, I love their costumes. Love their uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Woodwear.
And your favorite plot with Boimler?
That was the one that I said where everyone's stressed out.
Yeah,
but mm-hmm. He actually works.
Shame they named the this rule after.
Yeah, he's like, no, that's the opposite of what I want.
Yeah, he's become pretty fun.
Question. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Question. Do you think Boimler's going to be in next season, or is he going to be on the Titan off with Riker?
He'll be on the next season.
Yeah, I know.
Something will happen.
Just wondering.
Bring him back.
Actually, before we go back to questions, totally apropos on the side, I saw that a lot of the voice actors do improv, or at least Mariner's character does a lot of improv. Great job. Like, nice. The voice cast is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He was really perky. I just wanted to say that. Keith, favorite episode?
Mm-hmm. Favorite episode? Let's see. That last one really was a fucking banger.
Like, right?
Holy shit. We actually saw people die in Star Trek ways.
Yeah.
And then, like, figure out how not to die, because you saw what happened for the previous ship. Like, the initial captain that runs into some legacy bad guys from Star Trek. Like, the aliens who like to steal stuff and say, we're strong.
The Packlets.
Yeah, like, they did a good Star Trek thing where, like, you know, Federation has kind of left them alone. We're like, all right, well, don't get up to anything else, you fucking dumbasses. They're like, all right. And then, like, well, no, they weren't going to listen. And they did steal stuff that, like, all of a sudden is better than Federation stuff. And, like, they outmatched us. And I was like, whoa. And, like, the one captain was like, full speed. And she full speeded, and that's what destroyed her ship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the next crew, I think they saw, like, hints of that. And, like, it's like stuff that happened in TNG, where they, like, see what happened to their previous ship, so they don't do it. Mariner starts to be cool, because, like, when... I get frustrated when I see, like, her perfection held back, and she's just too cool for everybody. But when it's unleashed, and she's... To me, now she's just being a normal Star Trek character, because most Star Trek characters are that good at stuff.
Yeah.
And you just, if you let her just fly, and, like, the end of the episode came, they're like, Mariner, do your thing, and she actually made some great calls. I was like, oh my god, I'm in Star Trek now. I'm like, yeah, raise the shields and fluctuate them. Oh my god! We're fighting and stuff. And, like, that last step. And then the freaking, because, like, they kept on, like, name dropping the Titan. I was like, all right. You guys don't know. You're just saying it because you're just like, ah. And then, like, Han Solo style.
Yeah.
Like, all hope is lost. We're about to lose. And then, yahoo! The Millennium Falcon, the Titan, comes flying in.
Yep.
And, they crushed that shit. They killed people. They had references, world building, ship battles, strategy, Star Trek, comedy. Dude, like, having the last one go out on, that they really did it. So, I was thinking, like... the biggest problem with enjoying Star Trek is that shitty stuff was, like, fun to make fun of. Ever since, like, The Force Awakens, and, like, this, there's, like, this blossoming of fans who are, like, reminding themselves that it's okay not to like things, and, like, they create some of the greatest videos I've ever seen on YouTube, and then now that Lord X is getting better, now I see these channels and these people who made their, like, you know, now they're making a living off of roasting bad fiction. Once good fiction starts coming, like, I can see them struggling now, where they're, like, struggling to dislike it because that's what their channel prefers. And it's been an interesting, changing landscape.
It is very frustrating that that was the landscape that emerged at first. Definitely with you. And I agree that it looks like it's changing. So that's great.
One thing.
Yeah. Yeah, just it just sucks for my, I love the roasting. It was so much fun. And now, if things are just good, like The Mandalorian is really good.
Yeah.
I don't have a weekly hilarious video to tune into to go, oh my god, yeah, I can't think of that wrong.
Yeah, people like, getting excited like with you two is fun too, though. You want to say, Jay?
I was going to say, I just, one thing about that last episode before we move on, I just love that the Packlids call every ship the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Another Enterprise.
These are ships. No, they're called Enterprise. They're ships of your kind of ship. That's an Enterprise. Yeah. That's an Enterprise.
So funny.
All right. Jay.
Yep.
Who's your favorite guest star character? Like they're in one episode.
Huh.
I'm going to ask all three of you. So the two of you, you got it.
Let me think. Because I mean, he was in a couple episodes, but the other Lower Decks guy that creates the tech that basically destroys the pack, or not the Packlids, the, what was it, the people that were...
Boimler's friend?
Junkers?
No, yeah, Boimler's friend from the Academy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he was kind of funny. It's weird, because he was funny and just did a lot of... He was, like, stupid funny, and then he, you know, destroyed that ship, and they got a promotion, and they got fired. And then, I don't know, like, he was just funny to me. Like, I just really enjoyed the, like, dumbness of of his character. So, he's one, but as far as, like, guest stars, I don't know, I'd probably say...
I mean, that counts.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. And then obviously, her friend, Mariner's friend. The captain. I like their kind of back and forth where, like, they were in the captain's room and she was doing a personal log and Mariner was, like, messing with her, making her laugh during her log. And that just was, like, a very, like, sweet kind of, like, sincere friend moment, which I thought was really, really cool.
Michael, favorite one-shot character?
Not surprisingly, it was in the last episode, probably just because that's the freshest in my memory, but mine was Peanut Hamper, the exocomp that came on. I loved it because they're like, you know, you can make a difference, you can save us all, and she's like, hey, I'm going to pass.
So it sounds, sucks.
That shit sounds dangerous. Yeah, later.
So that sucks to be organic. Yeah. I died laughing.
So that was my favorite. She was awesome.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
What was her name? Peanut Hamper Pants or Peanut something like that?
Peanut Hamper. Yeah. Peanut Hamper, yep.
Does she kind of look like the Mr. Peanut from the Rick and Morty?
She's an exocomp.
She's an exocomp.
Remember those things? Right.
The ones that Data tried to save?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, like, apparently they evolved enough to, like, decide if they want to join Starfleet.
All right.
Oh my
god. Welcome to Starfleet?
Awesome. Once again, like, a good reference, because no one I've known has made an exocomp reference.
Yeah.
Yep, there's a doofy one that it leads up to, it should have been like the final, like, solving of the problem character, but then she's like, nope, that sounds dangerous, I'm out of here. Suckers later.
That's what I would do, like, peace.
If I do that, I may break, so I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
Peace.
Sucks to be organic. I'm out.
Favorite one-shot character?
Favorite one-shot character would be... I'm going to say Boimler's girlfriend because of what she created. She's a good character in of herself, but, like, having the non-romantic triangle... Love triangle? Look, yeah, the non-romantic love triangle happened was fun.
Yeah.
Because of her, like, I got to see a lot of those jokes of, like, maybe she's a duplicate or timeline, or maybe she's going to suck
yeah.
everywhere. And then, like, they actually did like reference, like, I love that, like, they reference a great reason for Meredith to have that fear, because that does happen a lot. Mm-hmm. Her friend did get her face sucked off because of it. I'm like, yes, yes, you should probably take her to...
This does happen strangely often. Good idea. Yeah, smart. You just... Wrong parasite. Wrong. Yep. You're bad.
It was a parasite. It was a parasite. So that was cool. But yeah, because she entered in the episode, it created a lot of fun and funny moments. That
is an excellent A-plot, yeah.
And I think that all these good things I'm saying are little seeds in your mind, and maybe, you know, when you're bored one day, you're like, oh, I'll turn on a Lower Decks episode. Who knows what will happen?
Okay, yeah, and maybe one day you'll watch TOS.
I will.
And maybe one day I'll watch Stargate. One of those things.
You have to. Both of you have to.
Okay.
One of these days.
Since we just found out, Keith, your favorite A-plot, what's your favorite B-plot? Most likely B-plot. Involving Rutherford and the Orion, whose name
is? Tendi.
Tendi?
Tendi, yeah.
One of the actress's name is close to a two, and I keep like making a mix of the two names for some reason. Mariner? Yeah. So
Tendi. Secondary plot would be, I think I almost want to go for Badgie, but yeah, that the world's on the back of a panda. Oh, I didn't like that one at first, so maybe I'm not. I'll go with that until something else comes to my mind. Like that B plot of her trying to get the guy to ascend, and then like his ascension just.
Buddy,
I've been so used to not laughing at the show, and I'm like, all right, here we go. Oh my god, what the fuck? So I'll give it to that one. That was fantastic.
Nice. Okay, favorite B plot?
What's up?
Favorite B plot?
It would be Badgie. I laugh my butt off so much. Like Badgie just kills me. Like, literally, I'm gonna rip your arms off and bathe in your blood!
It's so funny to hear it from, like, Kenneth's voice.
Yeah. Oh my god, I know, it's just, I love, and then when he, like, you know, kind of comes back in a later episode, and, you know, turn the safeties off. Yes, father. I'm always here. Yeah. It's just funny, like, it's, the whole Badgie thing just had me cracking up. And I was going to say one thing, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone else would agree with this, but I feel like Tendi is kind of like the Tilly from Discovery. Like, she's so adorable and cute that you just
adorably
can't help
excited.
But love her.
Yep.
You know, like, when Rutherford gets his implant ripped out, and then she's like, oh, you know what this means? We get to become best friends all over again!
Yeah.
Yay, science!
And it's just, you know, like, she's just so cute and adorable, and I love her character, so... Yeah.
And they keep her the correct amount. Tilly, they Urkel'd Tilly.
Yeah.
I was really sad about that because, like, I actually legit loved her in the first season. And then I saw in the following seasons, you saw they saw too much of the feedback and they just amped up Tilly to be, you know, up to 9 Tilly. And just like, okay, it's not funny now. You guys are just spamming it.
Yeah. I have a question for you. For all of you, how many times does she actually have a plot in sick bay?
Like twice, isn't it?
Yeah, two or three times.
Okay, name them.
The one where she was holding the heart and like pumping the guy's heart.
Oh, that was good.
But that was like one scene in the episode.
And then... When the Exocomp was doing the
the Exocomp.
Those are the two I can remember.
I'm just wondering if they ever actually put her in med bay.
Is she officially supposed to be medical or is she science?
I thought she was supposed to be medical because she said she reported to that lady in the first episode.
Oh yeah.
Okay, because, like, yeah, after that, I think they dropped it, because she does science everything now. She's Jeffrey's tubing, she's doing diagnostics.
Well, with Rutherford, like, her and Rutherford are the team, the pairing, you know? Like, that's the team for fixing stuff. Right. Yeah.
The fixing sub team.
Yeah.
Okay, well, since, wait, Michael, what was your favorite B-plot?
Badgie all the way.
Badgie?
That's,
all right.
That's my sick and twisted type of something.
Well, since you all picked Badgie, I'm going to have to ask you this question also. What's your favorite plot with Rutherford and or Tendi? Michael?
I like the one where they, Tendi was wanting Rutherford to watch a, like a solar or like a, you know, some sort of a,
oh, yeah,
a
so space like, event, like a nebula or something. Bunch of jobs.
Yeah. And like, it was just really sweet the way they ended it. Like she was doing her thing and he was doing his thing, but they were still together and hanging out. I thought it was just a sweet episode. Yeah. I thought it was cool.
The relentless positivity of all of the different senior officers being like,
yes,
Bears, say hello. Bah! Thanks, Bears. Keith?
Best Tendi Rutherford thing?
It doesn't have to be both of them, just like involving one or the other.
I think I need to watch it more. But I feel like there's a hilarious joke with a dog that she made.
Yeah.
Did she make that dog?
She created the dog,
Yeah, like there's a dog that was just like, I'm forgetting the jokes, but like it would just do some freaking jokes from like the movie The Thing. It would just like explode into like something horrifying, and I think eventually it flew
away.
Well,
that's just it. Like, what do you mean? What, dogs can't talk and fly?
What? Oh yeah.
Oops. What,
they don't do
I made
that.
It wrong.
They don't do
that. My bad.
I love the dog's like mouth opens up all the way to where like two eyes fly out, and then like close back up, and it's like. Burf, burf.
It's like it's so terrifying.
It really is. Or it like turns into a spider and climbs on the roof. It's it was yeah,
nope.
That was hilarious. Yeah.
Jay.
Yes.
Yes.
You know the Rutherford trying of different stations, right? When he was trying out different stuff. And actually no. This one is from the final episode, and I literally just made this decision.
good.
Yeah, ooh. When the security guy's like, don't worry, I got you, baby bear. And him, like, and the security guy basically save the ship, and he the security guy, you know, like, goes down with the other ship, but saves baby bear.
Yeah.
You know, and that whole exchange where, like, they get the virus to the ship, and even when they first decide to do it, he just grabs him, throws him on his shoulder, and runs. And he's like, you know, I can run too. And he's like, I got you, baby bear. And he's like, okie dokie.
Yeah. He's like, this is the best day of my life or something.
Yeah. Security guy did not think twice before just
do it.
But destroying it was just everything.
The whole, like, don't worry, I got you,
that's
baby
bear.
That's
just good training,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But the whole baby bear thing just was, like, made my heart melt. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, adorable.
Oh. Yeah.
That callback.
Security guy. This is the best day of my life.
Yeah,
they carry through with actually killing him off. Like that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, the red shirt died. Was,
it's like
No, it was Tasha Yar. It was like
oh my
Tasha
god.
Yar.
Well, and what's funny is like in earlier episodes he's like, let me shoot their warp core. I've been good this month. Like he's all in when it comes to like fighting. So when he was like, I got you, and then he went down with the ship, it was so on point for the character. It was amazing. So
And now we look forward to who's gonna be the next security officer, and will it be a running joke that each security officer dies every season?
That'd be kind of cool and sad.
Surprise, it's Boimler.
I know, right?
No.
I'm joking. He's just a junior lieutenant. Jeez.
For now.
Ooh.
Yeah. They can jump 900 years into the future. You
that
know.
Leads me into my next question. Keith, favorite senior officer?
Let's see.
I know we're talking about Lower Decks, so let's talk about your favorite character from the Upper Decks.
Oh, but I'm pumped.
I'm going to say Ransom. I was going between her, him, and the captain, the mother. I actually do like her. The mother is pretty good. I keep on waiting for her to be written you know, in a way that makes her suck more.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a legit good captain. But I guess Ransom keeps having more Riker moments, mm-hmm. and I love Mia Riker.
Yeah.
And the spamming the two-fist punch was the first legit laugh that the show got out of me.
That's right. I remember you saying that.
Yep.
Michael, favorite Upper Decks character?
Mine has to be Ransom as well.
Mm-hmm. That Riker quality.
That and just some of the jokes he makes. Like, I think it was... I can't remember which episode. If it was the last one or the one before, but you know, he was talking about they just found out that Mariner was the captain's daughter, and you know, they were in there talking, and he's like, I'm only hard when you make me hard. Like, I burst out laughing when he said that. So,
a treasure. Okay, favorite
character. I'm horrible because I don't remember his name, but the security guy. I mean, and it solidified, yeah. It solidified it when he, in the last
episode. Yeah, we're supposed to shoot everything. He's like, I never get to use the weapon.
I know. Come on, good. I've been good this whole month.
I have also forgotten the security guy's name. Shax?
His name is clearly Big Bear.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
We will refer to him as Big Bear from now on.
Big Bear.
Yeah. He's also Shax.
Shax.
I guess I didn't know his name.
Huh. All right. Wait. I'm sorry. Is that Shax? S-H-A-X-X?
It's S-H-A-X-S. Yeah.
Okay.
X in X-ray, S is in Sam.
Okay.
Shaxus.
Mm-hmm.
I just...
I don't remember hearing his name ever.
Just, that reminds me of Lord Shax from Destiny, but that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Egg I didn't expect. All right. Big Bear?
Thought you were Stargate Destiny. Anyway.
What? I would
never talk about you said some
Stargate universe on purpose.
Yeah, you... Anyway. When you said Destiny, Stargate universe is what came to my mind. Yep, Stargate universe. Right. We wish you were the one that died. So sorry.
Stargate universe.
Mean to say, but
Stargate universe dying killed Stargate, the Stargate Atlantis movie. So I'm still mad about that.
Every time I watch an episode, like I keep on trying to chill out some more, and like let it do its own thing. Let's do its own thing. And then like I watch Stargate universe, just my arm just slowly cross, and my mouth starts to frown. Like, you motherfuckers!
Wow.
You better up your game.
Well, that's our accidental slip into Stargate for today. We couldn't end without it, obviously.
Exactly.
Anything else that you want to sneak in that's not quite Star Trek before we...
I will admit I enjoy being a hater. I really did. Picard gave me so much fun with that. And... I wanted to have fun working the ribs of Lower Decks, but
it
got me, and it won me over. So, well done, Lower Decks. Well done.
Cheers to you, Lower Decks.
Welcome to the dark side, Keith.
But if you slip up, I'll be right there. I'm waiting for you
to cut your throat. No, wait, that's terrible.
Jay, anything you want to
add? Yeah. Prodigy. You're next.
Fun fact: I just got a streaming service that includes Nickelodeon for me and the kid, but for me, because when Prodigy comes out, I'm in.
Of course,
exactly.
We expected nothing less.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about how you feel about Prodigy for a little bit?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Well, I don't actually.
I only know two things about it.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say I purposefully don't know much other than they announced, you know, Kate Mulgrew is going to be
using my thing now.
But I haven't watched any, or I haven't read up on any of it, just because this is the one that I'm going to watch with my kiddo. So I'm trying to like
discover it together.
Exactly. Yeah. So cool. So that's going to be the one that he and I watch together. He's all in. Beautiful. When it comes to Star Trek. It's really cute.
Yeah, I remember you saying.
Mm-hmm. Really cute.
A baby Trekkie.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, are you excited about anything Star Trek coming up?
Just season 2 of Lower Decks. That is it.
Yeah, you're like, not Discovery. Sorry.
Honestly, no. I'm sad to say.
Yeah. It is very glossy.
Yeah, I'll still watch it, but I'm just like, I don't watch it like right when it comes out. It could be like a couple days later. I'm like, I guess I'll get around to it. Mm-hmm.
And I stay up at
I'm sorry, Jay.
I stay up until midnight Wednesday night because it pops on at midnight Thursday, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I love you.
Oh, I'm
Jay.
There. I stay up late every Wednesday to watch it.
It takes all kinds, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There are four different kinds, and there's so many other kinds out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny, because it used to be, I always felt our podcast was like 2 versus 2, and now it's 3 versus 1, but it's okay. I'm okay. I'm okay with it.
None of those things. It's not a contest. You're all supposed to be. Also.
I'll say, I wanted your bad, I really wanted to hear how much, I know you don't have time, but I did want to hear you disliking it. Like, I find value in the things that you don't like because it just allows, like I said, we've said before, we get to see more and think and consider more. Like,
thank you.
I am totally for your disliking
absolutely.
It, and I wanted to hear more about why you didn't like it, but
it's I feel like it's created for, I'll just answer that question as succinctly as I can. It's created so you have a lot of moments of like, haha. Oh, I know that reference. I know that reference too. I know that reference too. And the subplot is not too bad either. And this character makes me laugh, and this character makes me laugh, and this character reminds me of me. No problem with that. There are plenty of shows like that, and plenty of people like them. I'm just not the person who watches them. I don't watch those shows typically. Like, even with, like, shonen anime, for example, a lot of the really popular ones I don't like watching because I find, like, it's repetitive arc after arc. Whereas my favorite is one that doesn't even reveal that, like, magic powers exist until the second arc. Like, some people hate that. They're like, I feel like this anime lied to me about what it is, but I like unexpected twists and turns. And you,
what anime is that?
Hunter x Hunter. And usually the anime, but usually, like, comedies will not go that deep because they're there to make you laugh and make you feel nice and buoyant. And that's just not what I'm looking for in my fiction. I like to make myself feel strong emotions so I can release the ones that I have in real life that have no... where else to go. So that's why I watched Star Trek. It made me feel nice, but also like the characters would go through trials and tribulations to get to the other side. And now it feels like it's a lot of just like, we're going to die. We're going to die. We're not going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. Okay. 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 We're going to die. We're going to die. And that's why I didn't like Stargate Universe. And I'm just like, okay, I got to take a step back. Breathe.
Here, look. Here, if you're looking for something else to watch that, like, you know, gives you that like Star Trek feel, I recommend checking out something called Stargate. I know a lot of people don't watch it.
I heard about that.
People put it off. People put it off. But like, you gotta give it.
You know
a
what,
chance.
Keith? I think you're right. Like, I think it's time that I watch Stargate. In fact, you know, maybe we should make a podcast of it.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Okay, you're gonna love this. Okay, and here, check this out: Stargate Atlantis, even better. I know you don't.
Wow! I don't know. I don't know.
Shut the front door.
Is it possible?
But I think you're like.
Okay, I'll have to check it out. But you have to watch TOS first.
First,
go back in time and do it. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be continuing with the TOS movies. So,
run.
Mm-hmm. What movie are we on? 5.
Final Frontier.
The best one, except that it isn't.
God. Enterprise versus God.
I will tell you now, I 100% do not remember the plot of Final Frontier, so this is going to be an adventure definitely for me as well.
You're going to have a treat, boy, Cap, I'll tell you.
Fun stuff.
We'll come back with some notes. All right. And thank you again to Brian for editing this for us.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
All of us. Thank you to all of us for being here.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
And thank you to all of you for listening and supporting us. You can always find us, or Michael at 4hosts, on the Twitter. You can find us at PopGeeks. You can find us on the YouTubes and at 4hosts, all of these things, all of the podcast websites where you have already found us. But also, you can join the Discord. Michael, do you have a link on the Twitters to that?
Yes, there is. Yep.
There you are. So you can find it on the Twitters. And Michael hosts some Star Trek talks on there. So y'all should.
Yep. They're very exciting. You should tune in.
Yeah, I've crashed a couple.
They're exciting. Don't undersell yourself. Whatever. from all of us here in quarantine 2020.
Woo.
Go out and vote if you haven't done it yet or whatever.
Yes.
Please, agree. Oh, yeah. Please vote.
And,
no matter who it is, vote.
After the podcast.
Well,
and, okay. Yeah, and he's... All right. We're not going to say any more than that. We're not going to say any more than that. Just right. do the civic duty thing.
Exactly. Yes.
Right.
Keith?
And remember, everyone, keep looking up.
Woo! Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Later.
Peace.